Hello, everyone. This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report, the podcast to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. And today, we're going to talk about that because we're going to talk about revival from a pastor who knows a lot about it. He is Caleb Cooper. He actually has a podcast on the Charisma Podcast Network called Uncompromised Revival Fire. He's been my guest before, always by telephone. Today, he's in the studio, and so I'm looking forward to having a conversation to find out what he thinks that God is doing in our day. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
Welcome back, and Caleb, it's so nice to finally meet you face-to-face and to have you in the studio. I don't get that very often, and I just want to talk to you. You know, you are one of the most on-fire people I have interacted with in the last few years, and I mean, you know, because of my work and because of, you know, my connections in the body of Christ. I know everyone from Mario Murillo to, you know, Sean Foyt and all these people, fire brands. I've interviewed John Kilpatrick. I was good friends with Steve Hill back in the day. I knew the people at Toronto Blessing, the Arnotts. You know, and it, of course, we've been covering what's happening in our culture, especially with COVID and the election and everything else. In fact, you've been a guest and we've talked about that. That's how I first got to know you. But my book, my new book, God and Cancel Culture, actually talks about the fact that one of the good things that may come out of all this mess is we're beginning to see the beginning of revival. So is that happening, or is it merely wishful thinking on the part of people who love Jesus and are just so desperate for things to change in our culture?
Well, Steve, once again, it's an honor to jump on this podcast. When you ask the question, are we there? Are we going there? Is this wishful thinking? My mind immediately pauses. I go back to my first encounter with what was not a revival meeting. It was a six-month revival. I was born into the kingdom in a six-month revival in Silver City, New Mexico. And I'll never forget it because in that moment, you don't understand what's happening, but night after night, people are rushing through the doors, they're on their faces, repentance is breaking out, and when you've experienced it, you were born in it, it led in really to the call of God in my life. I'll never forget, once I was saved, I went into college, and I had this moment where when we say revival, again, some people think meetings, some people think a weekend gathering. We're both, I believe, contending for an unbelievable outpouring that's going to massively transform cities, counties, states. But one of the markings that I saw sitting in that college classroom, Steve, is the Spirit of God came into that room in a history class, and I heard the voice of God audibly. I never thought, even in those revival meetings, I'm thinking, man, do people really hear the audible voice of God? You read about it in the Word of God, and if we're contending for a revival, we ought to see some of these things that are in the Bible, not just, you know, ideas of revival, concepts of revival, because one of the things that concerns me is that we can fall in love with the idea of revival and never see it. We could all be
pursuing
revival. It becomes a cliche. Everybody likes the word. Books are written on it. But what man calls revival, I still believe God calls normal. And so in that college classroom, I heard the audible voice of God, and it went like this. I thought everybody was hearing what I was hearing. The Lord said, "Son, I've called you to preach the gospel with accompanied signs, wonders, and miracles, and prepare a generation for the return of Jesus Christ." I looked around that college classroom. No one was even remotely experiencing what I was experiencing. They were watching the teacher on the board. It forever marked my life, but it was from that place I knew, hang on here, when we say revival, we say a move of God, there's a lot of different markings, it's defined so many different ways, but the call of God's got to come back to America, not grandma calling you, not your daddy calling you to ministry, but the presence of Almighty God stepping into your life, calling preachers again, calling worship leaders again, not just something that's just passing down the lines, but are we hearing that voice, whether it's audible in your heart through the word, but it's arresting us again and raising up a generation that's contending for nothing less than sustainable revival and transforming awakening. But
boy, that's so well said. And, you know, when you talk about people longing for revival, I grew up in Pentecostalism. That's really all I knew as a little kid. My dad was an Assemblies of God preacher. And first of all, they would have two-week meetings at some point during the year, and they'd call it revival. They'd bring in an evangelist, and people would get excited. I mean, our parents took us to all those meetings. Of course, we probably went to sleep on the pew. You know, we're little kids. But in fact, the only drug problem I ever had was my parents drugged me to church every time the doors were open. But I also remember the old-timers. You know, I was a little kid, just, you know, kind of picking this up. They would long for Azusa Street revival. And this would have been, you know, 50 years after Azusa Street. And now it's been more than 50 years since. But they wanted Azusa Street all over again. They were praying for revival. Well, when God answered, they didn't necessarily recognize it because, first of all these Episcopalians got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Pentecostals thought they were all backslidden because they wore makeup and, you know, played cards and had TV sets. I mean, seriously, Pentecostals were that conservative back then. And then the Lord poured out the baptism of the Holy Spirit on the Roman Catholics in 1967. Most of them didn't even think Catholics were saved, you know, and like with any group, there's always people that aren't really saved, but also a lot of people that, you know, really love Jesus. And then these hippies that took drugs and grew long hair and went around barefooted started coming into their churches and sitting cross-legged on the carpet at the beginning of the service. And a lot of the good old church people didn't even want them there. And yet this was the revival that today we call the Jesus movement. So revival comes in very, very different formats. And of course, there's other examples as well. But, and I, you know, I've written about this, I've talked about it many times, but I want to hear your perspective. And also, I realize I didn't really introduce you very well as the pastor of New Hope Revival Center in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I've been a lot of places. I've never been to Truth and Consequences. I remember a TV show named Truth or Consequences back in the day. A very unique name. And I know during the whole COVID thing, which people can actually search the Strang Report and find the pod. I did several podcasts with you and with your sheriff who helped you stand against the government. Good for you. I was glad to do our part and to try to, you know, kind of get it going viral out there, and it encouraged a lot of other people. You were strong when a lot of pastors were still timid and trying to figure out if it was necessary for them. And then since then, some of the people have, you know, it has shifted some. And I really believe that you were influential in that way. So, but I know you well enough to know that you not only pastor your church, but you go and speak at other churches, and you see signs and wonders and miracles. Talk to me about that, what you see, what you pick up as you move around. It's mostly there in the southwest part of the country. But what do you, you know, elaborate on what you were saying before. What are you seeing God doing?
Well, one thought that comes to mind immediately as we try to address this idea of, you know, is it revival? Is it a meeting? Is it an actual movement? Is it the Third Great Awakening? I think at some point, Steve, all of us have to come to grips with, you know what, if no revival took place, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, give sight back to the blind, free all those that are oppressed by the devil. We have the Spirit of God in us to get that done now. And I think that's one of, and again, I want to answer your question, but one of the concerns that rises up in me is Peter didn't wait on a revival to walk on the water. You know, the disciples didn't wait on some great move of God that we're all anticipating to do what Jesus said you can go do. So we've got to find that element. But one thing that, again, I believe is a marking as we're moving about in our home church or whether or not we're out on, you know, other assignments that God has given us, is there's been distinct moments in my life, and I'm sure many of the other guests that you've interviewed could identify with this, where there's a transition in a moment from the anointing to preach, the anointing to walk in signs and wonders, to a shift where the glory of God can come into a church, it can come on a person. You know, I think it was Pastor John Kilpatrick that said one time that revival doesn't really come to a city, it comes to a man. You know, we become that vehicle, we become that lightning rod of heaven, that connection point, that delivery system in which we're going to carry that glory of God. I'll give you an example. In 2019, we were at New Hope Revival Church, Truth of Consequences, New Mexico. Normal Sunday, we had a guest speaker. We saw God moving. It was great. I mean, any dead church may look at that service and say, this is revival. But we know there's more. To the kingdom of God, there's no end. And he was getting ready to, you know, actually just got done speaking. And suddenly, I just voluntarily got on my face before God thinking, I'm just going to cry out to God. The weightiness of God's glory, Steve, landed on my body. I felt myself pressing against the floor. My wife was on the floor. She had, all she could see was a silhouette, is the way she explains it. She's just gazing into this silhouette of Christ. And so others are having this same encounter where the focus of the whole room shifted to Jesus. He's the express image of the glory of God. When that weightiness began to happen, I had a moment where I thought, I don't want to make this up. I don't want to do the charismatic, you know, put some language to this and try to help, you know, people think there's a move of God. No, I wanted to test what was happening to me. I went to lift my hand. The weightiness of God's glory and power would not allow me to move my limbs. I tried to lift my hands, my legs. The weightiness was smashing me. And the Lord said this to me, Steve, son, if you try to get up again, this is rebellion. And I had a moment, hang on, this is not anointing anymore. This is the glory of God shifting things. I hear the guest speaker say, pick up pastor about 10 minutes later. I just kind of knew that was the time frame. I couldn't move. We had a man in our church that worked for the mortuary. He's used to picking up dead bodies. He thought he was going to come just pick me up, no problem. But that kabod, that weightiness of God's glory, it took about 6 to 8 men to try to lift me off the floor. And they just carried me through the altars. People begin to drop like flies. I'm thinking, what's happening? I'm hearing bodies collapse. People are weeping under the power of God. I'm thinking, what do I do here? Lord, I want to see what's happening. I go to open my eyes, and they're just glued shut. And the Lord said this to me. He said, when revival comes, my power will paralyze your flesh. I'm tired of ministry being done in the flesh. It's going to be done by the Spirit of God. I couldn't participate. The whole room was getting annihilated by the power of God. I couldn't see it. I couldn't rejoice. God's like, I just need the vehicle. For too long, many have stole my glory, and I will share not my glory with any man. To make a long story short, because I know we got time restraints here, for weeks following, 2 months, we saw the strangest things happening night after night. The only thing I could relate it to was the Hebrides revival. Drunks begin to walk off the streets. No advertisement, no Facebook. They'd come just weep under the power of God at the altar, get right with God. No one was preaching to them. To me, there must be that on a massive scale. I only got a taste. But it forever marked me that revival's got to be more than preaching. It's got to be more than all the things he said we could do under the anointing. And it must begin to shift cities and regions, states and nations. And so I'm no expert on it, but I know I experienced that, and it forever changed my life.
Praise God. You know, we could talk for hours on this, and you've written books. In fact, I want my listeners to find out more about your books, your podcast, which I mentioned. I want you to give us a website or email address for people who want to follow up with you where they can find out more about this. I'll just mention that I quoted you in my new book. I don't know if you know that or not, but I just have so much respect for you and appreciate the articles you've written for us. And I'm just personally inspired by your zeal. And I want people to be able to find out more about you. So talk to me about your church, your website, and your podcast.
Awesome. Well, Pastor, New Hope Revival Church, again, Truth or Consequences. Our services are live stream, newhoperevivalchurch.com. You can see those anytime and also on YouTube. Personal ministry, calebcooperministries.com. Multiple books that I've written. There's one where I make reference to what we talked about here, where I joined many different revivalists, 70 revivalists around the globe, Igniting Revival Fire Every Day, where it tells that piece of a testimony there. But books available, CalebCooperMinistries.com. It's the easiest way to access it. We got a new one out on leadership. I believe God's raising up strong, bold leaders. Like Acts 4, they prayed, the whole house was shaken. The next step was they were filled with boldness. We've got to have that boldness again in the midst of all the chaos that's happening in this nation. So that book has many writers in it, but I write the first 13 chapters, calling people to strong, godly leadership in the last days. I believe that that attribute will be one of the elements that help facilitate the move of God that's coming in this nation as well. We've got to have strong leaders. So,
well, thank you for that, and thank you for taking time from your busy schedule. Your visit to Florida is a little bit different than what you're used to, and we're so glad that you're here. And I'll just mention, as I wrap this up, that in just about 6 weeks, my new book, God and Cancel Culture, will be out. And I know people will listen to this podcast for a long time, but I'm speaking at the Reawaken America rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'll be there on the 22nd of August, and they're going to have a meet and greet. I've never done this, but it's apparently the way they do it. And if you come to it, I certainly want to meet you. And if you have any questions, you can always write me at info@charismamedia.com. And go to stevestrangbooks.com, and it'll tell you how you can get $120 worth of free stuff, a couple audio books. You can get my first book, God and Donald Trump, in digital format, and also a subscription to Charisma Magazine, a year-long subscription. And so I hope you'll go there and take advantage of it. If you pre-order the book on Amazon, they give you a little bit of code. You just put your code in there, and we send you all this stuff. And that helps us get the word out and reward you for helping us out. So with that, I'll wrap up this edition of the Strang Report. Boy, today we really did learn about experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's so many people who don't even know about it. And even people in this what we call the Spirit-filled community often don't really walk in it. After a while, it becomes almost been there, done that, you know. And there needs to be a revival in our own spirits, regardless of what happens in the culture.
Come on.
You know, the Bible even says you can gain the whole world and lose your own soul. So we don't want a revival for the culture and miss out personally. And we can't control the culture, but we can certainly surrender our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ and be led by the Spirit. So with that, I'll wrap up my podcast, and thank you for listening. Tune in again tomorrow for the Strang Report. Tomorrow, I almost never do this because we put these up in different orders, but it's on my mind. Tomorrow, I'm interviewing, doing a podcast with Ambassador Sam Brownback, who is governor of Kansas and U.S. Senator from Kansas before that. So I am really looking forward to that. So even if you listen to this later, go looking for it on the Charisma Podcast Network, because I think you'll enjoy it. I've known him for a long time, and I just so appreciate him agreeing to be on the podcast. And tune in every day. We try to post a new podcast every single day, and try out my new podcast called God and Cancel Culture, which is specifically tied to that book, with the interviews I did for the book, talking about the book. I even read a couple of the chapters to give you a little bit of a preview. You can kind of go on there. The titles are self-explanatory. So thank you for listening. I'll wrap this up. Tune in tomorrow. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.